Acts 17. Hallelujah. I want to take you to Acts 17, and then I want you to get your thumb in Ephesians, the third chapter. Hallelujah. Ephesians, the third chapter. Acts 17, I want to take you. This is the Apostle Paul. He's traveling into Thessalonica. He goes to Berea. Then he finds himself in Athens. And when he finds himself in Athens, somewhere in around verse 22, Paul stands up and he says to the people of Athens, "I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him." I'm going to say that part one more time. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. Here's the part I love. And find him. Though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now I want you to go to Ephesians 3:20 quickly. And it simply says, Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or think, or exceedingly more above all that we ask or think, or imagine. According to, listen carefully, his power that is at work within us. According to his, not the power, his power that is at work in us. I want to preach to you from the few moments I have with you a subject called Now Unto Him. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for this moment that we've stepped into. A moment of discovery. A moment of divine interaction, which is going to bring divine revelation. That revelation is going to bring illumination. Shine yourself on us. Let us come to know and to understand what is the length, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love you have toward us. God, with such magnitude, how can we miss it? How can we miss it when you love us so much? How can we miss it when you said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end." Father, let us somehow not just cognitively be aware, but let it sink down in the depths of our spirit that you are for us. And if you're for us, who can be against us? What can oppose omnipotence? What can defeat omniscience? What can combat omnipresence? Because if I go down to hell and make my bed down there, you're so everywhere present that you're there before I even got there. Oh, God. You were already ahead of me, making crooked places straight. There's nowhere we can go that you're not already there. So touch our hearts in this moment. Elevate our desires. Stretch our minds. Strengthen our spirits. Fortify our faith. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can, and say, there's no God like my God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want you to have that thought in your mind as we step into the text of Acts 17. There's no God like our God. It is here that we see the Apostle Paul somewhat playing three-dimensional chess. He goes to Thessalonica and he's trying to explain to them in the synagogue who God is. He goes to Berea, and the Berean Jews were those of study, and they had searched the scriptures for themselves. They just didn't swallow the whole truth. They had to search the scripture for themselves. Then when they searched the scripture for themselves, they were more curious about what Paul had to say, and they came to the knowledge of the truth by searching and seeking for the scripture. When he gets to Athens, and he finds himself in Mars Hill. Mars Hill is the place where all the philosophers sit and wax eloquent about life. And so he finds himself there with the Epicureans and the Stoics, and he finds himself there to not combat or somewhat try to defend a point, but to share with them that they're missing out on God because they don't even know the very God that they say they worship. And he finds there on one of the scriptures, and he makes his point, and he makes his case, and he says, to the unknown God is what is inscribed on your wall, and as it is inscribed, you don't have a clue as to the God that you say you worship. And so as he's trying to make his point, he begins to declare who God really is. And as he begins to declare who God is, he tells him how God started this whole process by making one man, and so doing, wanted to make a people and set their boundaries. And the reason why he set the boundaries is to teach them that there are no limits. The reason why he set the boundaries was to teach them that there were no limits. The reason that he sets the boundaries is to teach them that there were no limits. The reason that he set the boundaries was to teach them that there were no limits. In other words, when you get to the boundary of an idea, when you get to the boundary of a space, when you get to the boundary of time, that is where you start seeking God in a different way, because there's nothing outside of that boundary that's allowing you to cross over it, and you don't have any knowledge that there's anything else possible. And so the boundary is the thing that makes you seek God. He said he did this so that they would seek him, so that they would reach out to him, and perhaps they would find him. So the sole purpose of setting a boundary in the lives of his people is so that they would seek him, so that they would reach out to him, and so that they would find him. In other words, whatever you find yourself enveloped in, whatever the boundary is, if it is the boundary of financial debt, if it is the boundary of a broken marriage, if it is the boundary of a business that's not operating well, if it's the boundary of depression, of oppression, of addiction, whatever the boundary is, you got to that border because you have not yet reached out for God in a way to say, God, if you don't show up in my life, I'm not going to be able to do any of this. It makes you small in the view of God. It brings you to the place of understanding that God is bigger than anything that we can possibly imagine or fathom. To understand this point, I have to give you a little bit of science to back up what I'm trying to say. And the reason I have to do it is because you really won't understand it, because if you try to size up God, it's not possible, because God is infinite and you cannot measure infinity. it is absolutely virtually impossible, because infinity keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. And it is a very dangerous thing to try to size up God to the point where your prayers or your praise become the very size you think God is. In other words, the reason why we pray small and we pray small, or we pray short rather than praying long, or we pray about it rather than praying through, or we praise about it rather than praising through. In other words, the reason why we quit so fast and give up so quick is that we don't understand infinity. We don't understand the infinite power and wisdom of God that keeps going and going and going and going and going and going and going. This is why God gives you dreams that are bigger than what you can accomplish. This is why he gives you visions that are larger than your capacity, so that you would reach out to him, so that you would seek him, and so that you would find him. It is why we find ourselves, God, in a place that makes us baffled and perplexed about the problems that are in our lives. It is because we have this low view of God. Now, as I already told you, A.W. Tozer said, it is the low view of God that is the cause of 100 lesser evils, but a high view of God is the solution to 10,000 temporary problems. And so when you begin to size up God, you begin to realize there is no limit to his power, because to the infinite, all finites are equal. In other words, even in our hardest prayers or our most difficult situations, omnipotence is the one answer that has no degree of difficulty. What you think is hard ain't hard to God. Oh God, y'all don't even talk back to me. In other words, if I could bring you into a theological construct of how God moves, and when he would move on the behalf of his people, he would say, the arm of the Lord has gotten me the victory, or the arm of the Lord is going to come and show up strong. But when you read the Bible and you talk about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible says God did it with his finger. If God can topple a superpower with his finger, I don't know what finger it was, but in my prophetic imagination, it probably was his pinky. Y'all ain't said nothing. And if God can move a whole nation with his pinky, what can he do when his everlasting arm stretches out to you and pulls you up out of the muck and miry clay? Slap your neighbor high five and say, how big is your God? God can only be as big as you think he is. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, how big is your God? How big is your God? God can only be as big as you think he is. He can only be as powerful as you think he is. If God can move a nation by his finger, you must understand that Isaiah comes along and adds some flavor to the conversation. And he says that God says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. My ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. God comes out through the voice of the prophet and says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not even your thoughts. God is trying to let us know we don't even think highly enough about him that we can even have his thoughts. And so he says this because you're trying to measure me in a way that I cannot be measured. Measurement are for things that are created. Y'all ain't saying nothing. But measurement is not for things that created the creation. Because how can you measure something that is and was at the same time? I am Alpha Omega. I'm not just the beginning end. I'm so large that I'm the end and the beginning all at once. That's why I declare the end from the beginning, because by the time you get to the end, I was already there. In other words, God says, I've seen your future already and I've already called it done. Because I'm Alpha Omega. I'm not Alpha and Omega. We put the "and" in there so that we can understand the grammar. But in Hebrew, in the Greek, it says, "I'm Alpha Omega," meaning that there is no conjunction. There is no bridge. There is no buffer between the two. There is no time because I'm eternal. So I'm Alpha Omega. When you getting started, I finish. When you finish, I'm getting started. So to you, dead is over, but to me, dead is not done. Because I'm Alpha Omega. I can step in what's dead and call life back out of death and say, "Death, where is your stick?" Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, "I serve a bad God." Somewhere along the way, we forgot how awesome our God really is. Touch three people and say, "I serve an awesome God." I serve. To understand how awesome God is, allow me to give you a little bit of science, just a little bit of data, because we're data driven. But data has no soul. This is why you have to experience God through your story, because your story is data with a soul. If you go back over your story and unlock the data, you will see how immeasurable the goodness of God was within your story. Oh, touch somebody and say, "You don't know like I know what God has done for me." Come on, somebody, I'm almost where I need to go. So the universe that we live in is so large that it requires an awful long tape measure, if you will. The basic unit of measurement for our universe is something called a light year. Somebody say light year, light year. Light travels, as we know, approximately 186,000 miles per second. And so that's so fast that in the time it takes your fingers to snap, light circumnavigates the globe a half a dozen times. That means light is moving so fast. When you go like that, light has circumnavigated the globe a half a dozen times. So when you snap six times, light has gone around the earth. When God said, "Let there be light," like that, y'all ain't said nothing up in here. That what was chaos began to produce cosmos, because when he spoke light into the situation, he wasn't concerned about the chaos because he is God and beside him there is no other. And so light is the measurement for our known universe. To put the speed of light and size of the universe into perspective, that we have to think about our sun. Our sun is 94.4 million miles away from the earth, at its farthest distance from us. If you try to drive, get in your car right now, your Tesla, whatever you got, y'all ain't said nothing, and try to drive to the sun, first of all, your car gonna burn up. Second of all, if you tried to do it and you were traveling 65 miles per hour, that means I'm not driving. If you were trying to do it, traveling 65 miles per hour, and you did it 24 hours a day with no sleep, no rest, and you did it for 365 days a year, it would take you more than 163 years to get to the sun from where it sets right now. But if the light from the sun hits your face when you go outside, the light that warms your face on the sunny day left the surface of the sun only 8 minutes ago. That means God can get to you faster than you can get to him. I wish I had somebody up in here. God designed the whole universe where he can get to you faster than you can get. Slap your neighbor high five and say, "God can get to me quickly." So he put a vehicle that can, watch me now, move in light speed, and the vehicle is called praise. I wish I had someone. For the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people, so that when I lift my voice, he shows up and say, "What's up?" I dare you right now to lift up a praise to God and watch him show up. Show up in your house. Show up for your kids. Show up on your job. Show up in your healing. I gotta hurry up. I gotta hurry up. I gotta hurry. So. I'm not done. God can get to us faster than we can get to him because he is infinite. He's infinite. There's no bound to him. There's no dimension or space-time that can hold him. He can get to you in any situation and in any circumstance. It doesn't matter if you were strung out in a crack alley somewhere. The power of God can come and hit you right in that spot. I don't care if your son is in prison. He can go and sell block D and invade that little bit prison for your child and give your son an encounter with him. I wish I had somebody who understood what I'm talking about. God designed it so that he can get to us faster than we can get to him. What the enemy was trying to do was to make it difficult for us to get to God. And this is why he made sure that we came up with the idea of religion. So that when God would see us and we would see us, that we would try to cover ourselves. God is so immense and so powerful, he was not worried about your vulnerability. Because he's infinite, he's also intimate. In other words, he knows everything there is to know about you. Religion tries to cover up what you think is a blemish. And God said it's not a blemish, it's your limitation. But your limitation is God's opportunity. Y'all know we're here. Just because you can't do it, doesn't mean God can't do it. And as a matter of fact, because you can't do it, you are a candidate for God. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm a perfect candidate for God to do it. Why? Because I got limitations. I know I'm broken. I know I'm flawed. But I serve a bad God who has no limitation. Oh, God. Who am I talking to in this room? You're letting limitation cause you to become a person of religion, and you're making God an unknown thing, and therefore you're fearing the glorious unknown. And so you start living life as business as usual, and you start thinking you know everything there is to know about God. And you create this know-it-all mentality that when God is trying to give you fresh revelation built on illumination, you think you already know the outcome. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you don't know what's about to happen next. Because what's about to happen next is unprecedented. You are about to experience the unprecedented power of God operating in your life. I dare you to touch three people and say, something about to happen that ain't never happened before. Something about to happen that ain't never happened before. Something about to happen that ain't never happened before. I never been this rich before. I never been this healed before. I never been this blessed before. I never been this free before. Something is about to happen that has never happened. Who am I talking to in here? I dare you to prophesy your future and say, something is about to happen that has never happened before. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Something's about to happen that's never happened before. I dare you take 10 seconds to praise him for something that's about to happen that's never happened before. Yeah. It's about to happen. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to make you amazed. It's going to perplex you. But it's about to happen. Who am I preaching to up in here? I got to hurry up. Paul is explaining this to them. And he's basically saying, you have to understand God designed this thing to get to us faster than we can get to him. I mean, he is infinite, but he is also intimate. He wants to know us for himself. He does not want to be abstract. He does not want to be nebulous. He wants to be known. We think God is so complex that he cannot be known. It's just that in his complexity, he wants to reveal himself to you. So God is, yes, complex, but what he is not is ambiguous. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. He says, listen, what can separate me and you from the love I have for you? Not life, not death, not hell, not heaven, not angels. Nothing can separate us because of the magnitude of the love I have for you. The enemy tried to put a wedge between God and what he created as his reflection in the earth, the imagio Dei, the reflection of the glory of God called human beings. And he tried to put a wedge in between us. But God said, before you put that wedge there, I already had a plan to get to them faster than they can get to me. So I gave them the ability to praise me. And every time they praise me, I show up. In other words, I don't need them to praise me to be God, but when they praise me, I come and sit down on their praise and I assess the situation. This is why the enemy wants you quiet, especially when you come into the house of God and have somebody looking at you like you got five heads just because you said hallelujah. But baby, you gotta look at that person and say, you don't know like I know. I've been through too much hell to sit here quiet, worrying about what you think about me. Slap your neighbor high five and say, praise is my vehicle. Praise is my vehicle, but prayer is my power. The enemy can't do nothing with your praise. Your praise, watch me now, circumvents him. He sits in the expanse of the sky. He is the prince of the power of the air. So he cannot capture your praise. So God put a vehicle in place for him to get to you. Just when you lift your voice, he comes. And the enemy can't do nothing about your praise. But he knows that prayer is your power. So prayer is a little bit more slow than praise. Prayer is not a quick process. And if you think about the scripture that we've been given to make us understand prayer, the Bible says the fervent, watch me now, the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous, listen, avails much. To avail means to overcome. What do I got to overcome? I'm going to have to overcome the mindsets that tells me that God is not going to answer this prayer. So I can't just pray about it. I got to pray through. That means I got to grow to a level of spiritual maturity that I can keep talking to God despite the chaos that's in my life right now. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm still going to talk to him. My bills ain't paid, but I'm still going to talk to him. I didn't get the job I wanted, but I'm still going to talk to him. My life is looking like it's falling apart, but I'm still gonna talk to him. I don't want no casual conversation. I want connection and I want covenant. I want to talk to him in the good times. I want to talk to him in the bad times because I... Why do I still... Sit down. Y'all sit down. What you doing? Why do I... I'm almost there. I'm sorry. Why do I still want to talk to him? Give me 5 minutes. I'm almost there. Why do I still want to talk to him? Because God is immutable. Touch your neighbor and say, he's immutable. He's immutable. So God is infinite. God is immutable. Immutable means that he can't lie. He can't go back on his word. And he does everything, watch me now, for his good pleasure. Touch your neighbor and say, he ain't got nothing to do with you, but everything to do with God's glory. God, why didn't you answer me? Because of my glory. I need you to stay in a little longer because once I get done doing what is unprecedented, I'm going to get all the glory. Slap your neighbor high five and say, stay in a little longer. There's a story in the Bible of three Hebrew boys that were thrown in a fiery furnace. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, look at here. I don't know if God will set us free from this fire, but I know he can. And we got to have that type of mindset when it comes to God. I don't know if he will, but I know he can. And if it requires me to be thrown in the fire, I serve a God who will hop in that thing with me. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God is in it with you. You're not in this thing by yourself. Whatever battle you're facing right now, you are not alone. The Spirit of the living God is in there with you. We serve a God that'll hop in the fire with me. Why? Because he wants to show the person that threw me in the thing. He wants to show the world, my God, who he really is. How in the world did a heathen king know what the Son of Man looked like? And the only reason he could know what he looked like was because he threw three men in the fire. And lo, he saw four. Jesus is the fourth man in the fire. And you have to understand he does it because he is immutable. His nature says that I cannot lie. That when I said a thing, I'm going to do it. Once I've spoken it, twice I've declared it. Power belongs unto the Lord. My God, you got to understand, if God said it, it's absolutely going to happen in your life. Touch your neighbor real quick and say, I forgot for a second what God said. But if he said it, he gone absolutely. Paul says that the boundaries are set so that we would seek God. The problem that you have right now is there so that you would seek God. The dilemma, oh God, the delay is so that you would seek God. Y'all not in here with me. Oh God, it's there so that you would reach out to him and what? Find him. I thought I already knew him. Not like this. You didn't know he could come around the corner. Y'all ain't said nothing and do something that would absolutely blow your mind. You didn't know he could do it like this. There was a Roman centurion that looked at Jesus and says, listen here, you ain't even got to go to my house. Just speak the word only. And the Bible says Jesus was amazed by his faith. Why? Because there were people around him that didn't know that he could do it long distance. Because there is no distance between what God promised and your life right now. Slap somebody high five and say, God can do it long distance, man. This brings us to Ephesians. I'm almost there. This brings us to Ephesians because now Paul has lived long enough that he can write to the church to let them know from a place of reality. Oh God, at Mars Hill, he was a philosopher and he was able to speak about it from a philosophical standpoint that you don't know God. But in Ephesians, he is a prisoner, not a philosopher. And now he's in a Roman jail cell writing things that says, I am seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Though my reality is that I'm in jail right now, I am still seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's one thing to have nominal faith, where it's philosophical, where you can quote every scripture, but it's a whole nother ball game to have experiential faith, where you've been through the fire and you've been through the flood and you still believe God anyway. So he sits down and he writes to Ephesians in the third chapter because the church at Ephesus are upset that he's in jail. And he says to them, listen here, don't worry about me being in jail. My pain is for your glory. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm locked up for a reason. I'm in this place on purpose. God has me here because he's about to release something unprecedented. The gospel is about to go all over the world and he had to use me to be able to do it. That's why he put me in Rome. And if I got to sit in prison to write 2/3 of the New Testament, so be it. But the word that I write in this room is not incarcerated by this room. My destiny is not incarcerated by where I am at this very moment, because what is being produced and what I feel like I'm incarcerated in can move beyond the boundary of these walls. And he's writing to them from this from this posture of being a prisoner. And he says, don't worry about me being a prisoner. I need you to come into the understanding of who God is. And so he says, I bow my knee because prayer is your power. Praise is your vehicle. So he says, I bow my knee and I begin to pray in power that you would understand with all the saints what is the length, the breadth, the width, and the depth of the love of God, that you would be strengthened with might in the inner man. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you're about to get your strength back right now. By God, the power of God that's working on the inside of you, in your spirit, man, is about to be infused with power. You are about to get up from this with power that is unprecedented. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, how you get such peace? I don't know, it's unprecedented. How you get such favor? I don't know, it's unprecedented. How you get such power? I don't know, it's unprecedented. And so he writes down this prayer, and as he gets down on his knees, he says, I bow my knee to the Father of heaven, and I begin to pray that you will come to the understanding, comprehend with all the saints, the breadth, the length, the depth, the width of the love of God. And then he begins to say, I want you to be strengthened with might, my God, in the inner man. And when you begin to get that strength, you understand it's now unto him. It's not unto you, and it's unto him. The reason why you have such peace and the reason why you have such power is because you know what's about to happen is unto him. It is not unto me. I know I can't do it. That's why I need God to do it. Slap your neighbor high five and say, what happens next has God's DNA written all over it. Your testimony is going to be, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. I dare you to find three people in this room and say what happens next is all God, baby. It's all God. 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 I can't take no credit because it's all God. I can't take no glory. Because it's all God. Slap three people a high five and say it's all God. That promotion is all God. That business is all God. That house you're about to buy is all God. That dilemma that's about to be solved is all God. I wish I had a witness in this house. Somebody shout all God. Now, unto him who is able. Oh, just touch three people and say, my God is able. Can I preach old school for a little bit in here? Come on, find somebody and shake their hand like you're about to shake it off and say, my God is able. He's able to heal cancer. He's able to heal sugar diabetes. He's able to do the impossible. For with God, all things are possible. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, he's able. I know he can. I just don't know if he will. But if I begin to believe that he can, he might just do it. If I praise him like he could, he might just do it. If I talk about him like he will, he might just do it. Slap somebody a high five and say, God might just do it. And if he do it, I'm going to give him the glory. Now unto him who is able. Y'all don't know nothing about no old school preacher. Somebody shout, he's able. Let me see if y'all in the church. Somebody shout, yeah. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God is able. To do exceedingly. Somebody say exceedingly. Whatever I can think up, he can do more than that. Whatever I can dream, he can do more than that. Whatever I can conceptualize, he can do more than that. Whatever my perspective is, he can do more than that. Somebody shout, God can do more than that. So I gotta expect more. I gotta believe more. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. I feel a more than that anointing. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. But somebody say, more than that. Whatever you experienced the last time, God's about to do more than that. Whatever your last miracle was, God's about to do. Y'all don't know when to shout. Y'all don't know when to shout. Touch three people, say more than that, 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 more than that. I know he healed you, but he's gonna do more than that. More than that, 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 more than that. Use your imagination more than that. More. Come on, I gotta be a good preacher and give you my last point. So if God is infinite, and if my limitation is his opportunity, because he's infinite, and if I don't have to worry about his word falling to the ground because he's immutable, then he is so immense. I didn't even talk about that. But the immensity of God is so great that watch me now, that he intervenes in my limitation. Do me a quick favor, because I'm running out of steam, so you're going to help a preacher preach. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, y'all ain't anointed. Come on, find somebody who wants to hear this. Look at him and say, name. There's about to be a divine intervention. Because I was about to limit God, and God came and stepped in and said, don't you limit me. I can do exceedingly and abundantly above all, watch me now, that you can ask or think or imagine. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to ask for something. Get that thing in your mind that you're about to ask for. And look that person in the eye and say, I'm about to ask for something ridiculous. And God is about to do something ridiculous. It's a divine intervention. Oh, y'all don't believe it. God, they don't believe me. Father, help me. Help our unbelief. Touch your neighbor and say, this ain't business as usual. This is personal. Come on, it's 12:35. You know you can't get out of Pentecostal church this early. Come on, somebody. What's wrong with you? Slap your neighbor high five and say, this is personal. I'm about to ask God for something ridiculous. The doctor said it's not curable, but I'm about to ask God for something. Where's your faith? Come on. I'm about to ask God for something ridiculous. I was praying. See what y'all think. Anyway, I was praying. And Erica, I was praying and I said to God, give me this city. That was my prayer. Give me this city. Give me this mountain. Give it to me. Give me this reach. He said, God said, I will give you, watch me now, the heathen for an inheritance. The word heathen doesn't mean sinner. It means nations. Your inheritance could be nations. Look at how much you limit God. You're trying to inherit a car. Cars don't appreciate in value, but people do. God, I know it sounds ridiculous, but give me such an anointing that when I open my mouth and speak over this region, demons tremble. And hell knows it's got to loose its grip and its hold on this city. Father, give me such power that when I open my mouth, the spirit of murder says we got to find another city. Because they that want to turn the world upside down has come here too. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm about to ask God for something ridiculous. Something ridiculous. Something ridiculous. Not the first in my family to go to college, the first in my family to start one. Something ridiculous. My God, I feel the no. Somebody shout, something ridiculous. Something stupid. Something make no sense. Something that's outside of the logic of my right brain. It makes no sense, but I'm about to ask for it anyway. Because it's personal. It's not business as usual. It's personal. Ephesians 3:20 is a personal scripture that says, whatever you can think or imagine or ask for, God can do more than that. How do I know? Because it's according to the power that's already working. Y'all just missed me. Touch your neighbor and say, he already intervened. I shouldn't even be standing here right now. Oh, I ain't got no church. Something must be working. I should be out of my mind. I should be lost. I should be jacked up. But it's already working. Grab that neighbor by the hand. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. I feel the Lord in here. This is a prophetic moment. If you don't want this, don't ask for it. Somebody want it. I don't know. If you don't want this, don't ask for it. I'm serious. Because you're not going to praise through or pray through. It works within you. Empowerment is an inside job. It's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. When you pray this, oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. I hear you, Holy Ghost. When you pray this prayer, you're going to become pregnant with ideas and vision and dreams. So if you don't want to carry the baby, don't pray the prayer. Because you can't abort this. I'm dead serious. I am in a, I'm sorry, but this is a deeply prophetic covenant moment. This is not to entertain you. I'm telling you. I'm starting to ask God for ridiculous stuff. I saw a building. I said, God, it was like Abraham, who was looking for a city and builder and maker was the Lord. God, leave Abraham, go take your son, take the lad, and go yonder to worship. Where am I going? You'll know when you get there. And I was driving down the road crying because I couldn't find no land for our church, and all the land that was becoming available was outside the city. And I said, God, I know you called me to this region. I don't want to leave it. They were offering me property out by the airport, all types of spaces. It looked good, too. It was nice. I was like, oh, that's nice. And then for a moment, I started to limit God. And I began to say stuff like, yeah, that'd be nice. I could be, you know, people with a higher demographic. I could bring folk from different, and I could bring. Don't try to play me. I was trying to talk myself into a limitation. Because that's the only thing that was becoming available. And then I'm driving down the road and I see this thing and I go, what's that? And I drive up around it and it's not like, you know, it ain't pretty. What's that? It ain't pretty, but it's God. And if it's God, I can make it pretty. Because he makes all things beautiful. And it's time for God. And so, I refuse to limit God. So when I saw the building, I started praying for ridiculous stuff. They had all these buses on the property. They store buses there. So I said, God, give me the buses too. I'll start a transportation ministry. I'll send buses into Sandtown, Winchester, and Cherry Hill. Y'all ain't talking back to me. I'll send the buses. I'll bribe you to come to church if I have to. Get this word in your spirit. Because I know if I can get you in the room, I can change your life. I just want to help people. And I refuse to limit God. So God put me in something that was, watch me now, beyond my ability. 80 people was in this room my first Sunday. 80. That's three rows. About four maybe. Were in this room my first Sunday. And I went and said, God, why would you put me in something this big? Let me start some hotel somewhere, some theater, some little storefront. The reason why God put you in things bigger than you is so that you would reach out to him. Come on, squeeze that hand. Say, don't pray this prayer if you ain't serious. If you don't know God, you can know him right now. He wants to be known. He wants to be known. And the only way he can be known is if you reach out to him. Because he's already reached out to you. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. You can know him. And you can know him for yourself. Ah. And he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Because the power is already working within you. So Father, we thank you for this prophetic, divine moment of covenant. God, we take the limits off of you. We take the limits off of our mindsets. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing too hard for you. Father, when we take these limits off, we begin to anticipate the inevitable. It's unprecedented, but it's inevitable. Because you're God. You're God, and beside you there is none other. Who is like unto thee? Who? None of us were there when you gave the water the command to sit still. This is your border. None of us were there when you sat on the center of the universe and called cosmos out of chaos. None of us were present when you separated the expanse of the sky. We were simply not there. But God, if we dig deep enough, we'll understand that we were already in you while you were creating. And so you pulled out of yourself, God, your spirit and breathed it into man, and man became a living soul. So we have a creative nature. So God, I lift every creative nature in this room. And I thank you for elevating desires. I thank you for unlocking imagination. Father, I thank you that the angels in heaven won't be bored anymore. They won't be yawning, because they're going to be busy being dispensed on our behalf, because we're going to be praying and we're going to be praising and we're going to be believing and we're going to be seeking and searching. We thank you, God, that what's about to be done is unprecedented. I thank you for unprecedented faith, which is going to unlock unprecedented favor. I thank you, Father God, for the testimonies that's going to show up to say that ain't never happened like that before. Father, I thank you for unprecedented glory. Father, I speak right now to every parent worried about their child. Let a glory envelop their home, that when their child walks into the house, Father, the glory of the Lord falls upon them. It's going to be unprecedented. And depression is going to lift, and oppression is going to lift, and mental disorders are going to lift. Father, I thank you for that level of creative miracle. That one day they just walked into the room and everything was set right. No explanation, no data, just done. Because that's the type of God you are. I thank you, Father, for witty inventions and ideas and dreams to be birthed in your people. To believe you like they never have before. To carry the thing full term and see it unfold right before their eyes. I thank you, God, that it's already done. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, something about to happen, baby. Something that's about to happen. Woo! Lift those hands all over the house. Let's look to the Lord. If you're watching online, I pray this word touched you, blessed you, spoke to your spirit. God is unprecedented. So now it's unto him. And that's a good plot, good spot to be in. That is unto him. You sought it. You asked for it. You knocked on the door. Now it's unto him. And when he does it, it's going to be far above anything you imagined, asked for, or thought. Now may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May his favor circumnavigate you like a mighty shield. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus, somebody say amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Two or three people say, now it's unto him.